So Justin, you're a survivor of conversion therapy. Can I know a little more about your experience with the therapy?
I knew something was different. I knew there was an attraction of some sort, and I just didn't know if it was all guys kind of feel this way and they just don't talk about it, or even worse, I'm the only one that feels this way and I definitely am not going to talk about it. So I tried to come out here in Utah, and he said that, no, you're not gay. This is kind of a disorder. Basically, we can fix this, but you've got to do everything that the therapist tells you to do and what I'm expecting you to do. He said, well, let's explore this childhood trauma that, you know, they had covered in the group therapy. And I'm like, well, I don't remember any trauma. He said, no, I really think that probably something's happened to you and you just don't remember it because it was so awful. And so week over week, we started going down this path of reconstructing these false memories of where I was molested. And at one point, I felt like, you know, gosh, I remember, you know, what the color of the carpet was and the wall paneling and, like, everything to piece together this false occurrence. So they told me basically that I needed to tell my family, but that I shouldn't tell that I'm gay, that I'm just dealing with the repercussions of being molested as a child. And so when I came out to my family, that's what I said. And my dad was devastated. My mom called and she basically was like, you know, I was a pretty good mother. And so I don't know what is going on and what you're going through. And I wish you would talk to me, but I do not believe whatever you're going through is related to some repressed memory of something because it didn't happen.
So after your mom informed you that you were constructing false memories and you left conversion therapy, what changed?
About a year into the therapy, I did everything. I did everything I was asked to do. It didn't fix anything. It didn't change who I was attracted to. It just changed my mental and emotional state. It basically numbed that part of my life. And I decided to break from the therapy and to date someone that I had met at the gym. His name was Brent. Neither of us were out. We were kind of both in the same boat, which was actually kind of nice. But about 6 months into it, his brother emailed me and told me that he had found Brent dead in his apartment and that he had died from a heart attack. And that shook my life. I was depressed and lost. And I went back to that bishop that had initially suggested I go through this conversion therapy, and he basically said, you know, you didn't do exactly what I told you to do. You went ahead and stopped going to therapy. He said, basically, God took away Brent because you're not supposed to be in a gay relationship. And that basically was a catalyst for me being suicidal. I went home and had a plan because I felt like he was right. You know, I was the reason that Brent was gone. A friend had found out and knew I was pretty depressed, and he had called the police. And the police actually showed up at my mom's house first, and I wasn't there. And police called me, and they said, you need to meet with me to make sure I wasn't going to harm myself or anyone else. And so I agreed to meet them. And when I got there, the police officer asked me if I was Justin, and I said yes. And she said, come with me. And she put me in the back of a police car and walked away. And I thought, well, what's the deal here? Why is there all these flares and all this stuff? And I looked further into it, and I saw a tow truck pulling this large SUV off of a really small car. And it was my mom that was in the small car. She had followed the police to make sure I was okay. I was ashamed, and I thought to myself, here I am again. Because of this same gender attraction problem that I have messed up in now, you know, not only Brent, but now my mom. I waited in the emergency room for hours, and she finally came out, and she sat down next to me, and she said, you know, I know what's going on now, and I need to let you know that if this is what it takes for you to learn that you are loved exactly the way you are, then I'll do this again. And that was the turning point for everything. That's why I'm still alive today. It's because someone finally came forward and said, look, there are other options besides the ones that were given you. And I started seeing a licensed therapist that had no affiliation with any other organizations and realized that I could live a very full and happy life as as a gay man, and I was allowed to fall in love with someone of the same gender, and I was allowed to live life the way I wanted. And so I promised myself that I would do everything that I could to bring light to this situation, and that no one should have to go through what I went through.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. As you probably know, there's been a substitute bill to replace House Bill 399, which would have originally banned all types of conversion therapy from abusive therapy to talk therapy. Now with the substitute bill, it prohibits the therapy that involves physical abuse. How do you feel about that?
The third bill should not go through because I think it sets a dangerous precedent, which is banning the use of shock therapy and physical abuse. So they basically pulled up a bunch of archaic methods that had been put out to pasture like at least 2 to 3 decades ago. Nothing's really branded that I'm a conversion therapist. It's any attempt to change someone's sexual orientation. That's conversion therapy, and that's not protected in this bill. And if Governor Herbert is really serious about the suicide epidemic with kids in Utah, this is a huge contributing factor to it.
Thank you for being so vulnerable with me, Justin. For our listeners, the substitute bill is still being looked at, so it can change at any time. With Utah Public Radio, I'm Megan Nelson.